This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Follow the Minds of Madness on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts to listen to our episodes early and ad-free and get access to monthly exclusive episodes. Go to patreon.com/madnesspod. You can also hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts for ad-free episodes. We've got links in our show notes.
The opinions expressed in the following episode do not necessarily reflect those of the Minds of Madness podcast. Listener discretion is advised.
Have you ever had the feeling that someone's watching you? That strange sensation, like a sixth sense, where you can feel a person's gaze on the back of your neck. Even if you can't quite put your finger on it, there's something inside you that knows something isn't right. And if you tell anybody, they'll just tell you the same thing you're trying to tell yourself, that you're just being paranoid. But what if you're not being paranoid enough? What if someone really is watching your every move? What if they've hacked into your phones, computers, and email accounts, and had access to every word you've ever typed? This horrifying premise was basically the plot of a psychological TV thriller series in 2018 called You, about a sociopathic bookstore manager in New York City who obsessively stalks the woman he's obsessed with. But 9 years before the show was released, a real-life version took place in Manhattan's famous Upper West Side. In 2009, successful wealth manager Shelley Coughlin began suspecting she was being spied on. Soon, Shelley stopped trusting her emails and knew her phones were compromised. Everywhere she went, she was paranoid that he was out there watching, listening, and following. But even Shelley could have never guessed how far a stalker would go. As the saying goes, it's only paranoia if you're wrong. Join me now as we uncover the mysterious death of Shelley Coughlin, a high-powered businesswoman discovered drowned in her bathtub. You'll hear how police were quick to rule her death as an accident, despite a number of red flags, and learn disturbing revelations about a suspect who'd stop at nothing to get his hands on Shelley's fortune, even if it meant attempting to frame his own 9-year-old daughter for murder. Rabbi Meyer Weil's phone rang early on New Year's Day, 2010. Many New Yorkers were still sleeping off the previous night's festivities and the promise of a brand new decade. But this call was urgent. A member of his Jewish community had died unexpectedly, and the rabbi's services were requested ASAP. According to certain Jewish customs, when a member of their faith passes away, The process of handling the deceased is guided by a set of religious traditions and rituals. One of the services the rabbi provided was a ritual cleaning, which meant collecting any possible traces of the deceased that may have been left behind, including body fluids, to bury them along with the body in accordance to Jewish law. Around noon that day, the rabbi arrived at the luxury high-rise apartment building in Manhattan's affluent Upper West Side. Taking himself up to the fifth floor, he arrived at the apartment of 47-year-old wealth manager Shelley Kovlin, a mother of two who'd passed away the day before, on New Year's Eve. Technically, Shelley's apartment was still considered an active crime scene, as her cause of death hadn't been officially determined. However, off the record, investigators had all but declared her death a tragic accident, a fatal slip and fall in her own bathtub. Because police weren't anticipating the need to process the scene for potential forensic evidence, like DNA or fingerprints, the NYPD granted full permission for the rabbi to enter the secured crime scene and assured him her death was not considered suspicious. Once inside, the rabbi spent 45 minutes meticulously cleaning the bathroom, going to great lengths to make sure any traces of body fluids were respectfully and thoroughly collected, pouring peroxide on surfaces before scrubbing them with a toothbrush, and then absorbing them with special towels he brought along. If the bathroom had been considered an actual crime scene, any traces of DNA or fingerprints were now, most certainly, long gone. After the ritual cleaning, the rabbi reached out to Shelley's family and asked if there was anything more he could do for them during their time of grief. It was then the rabbi learned, for the first time, that Shelley's family, the Danishevskys, weren't entirely convinced her death had been an accident at all. Although they'd initially told police they didn't want Shelley to have an autopsy for religious reasons, they now decided to ask for one. The rabbi told the Danishevskys all the information police had given him, that they didn't suspect foul play. There hadn't been a forced entry. There were no signs of a struggle. And that Shelley's death had most likely been an accident. Bringing in another rabbi to discuss the delicate situation, the family ultimately decided to cancel the autopsy at the very last second. And that's not hyperbole. In fact, the medical examiner was literally holding the scalpel when an assistant informed him of the family's decision. And so, Shelley Kovlin was buried on January 3, 2010, in a traditional closed casket ceremony. No autopsy was performed, and the only evidence collected from Shelley's apartment were crime scene photos taken on the day her body was discovered. It wasn't until a few days after her burial, when her family first heard a detail about Shelley's death they'd never heard before, about the scratches police had seen on her face, like someone had been clawing at her cheek. No one had told them about those. And to make matters worse, it wasn't the police who told the family. Instead, it was Shelley's funeral director who brought it to their attention. The Danishevskys would spend the next decade wondering how everyone had gotten everything so wrong. How was it possible for so many mistakes to have been made at one crime scene? It was very early in the morning on New Year's Eve when Shelley's 9-year-old daughter, Anna Kovlin, woke up in her mother's bed. Her 3-year-old brother, Miles, was still sleeping soundly beside her, but her mother's side of the bed was empty. Through the darkness, Anna could hear water running inside her mother's bathroom. Creeping out of bed, Anna peeked inside the bathroom and saw her mother sitting upright in the tub with her head bent forward, like she was washing her hair. Without saying a word, Anna went back to bed. A few hours later, Anna and Miles woke up at 7 a.m., wondering where their mother was. Curious, Anna went to the last place she'd seen her mother and peered inside the bathroom. There, Anna discovered her mother floating face down in the tub, the water pink with blood. running to the phone. Anna dialed the number she was only allowed to use in case of an emergency. She called her father, 36-year-old Rod Kovlin. For the past year, her parents, Rod and Shelley, had been embattled in a particularly ugly, drawn-out separation and divorce. Shelley even took out an order of protection against Rod, barring him from ever setting foot inside her apartment. Still, when Rod received the panic call from his daughter that morning, he rushed over as quickly as he could. He didn't have to travel far, because Rod still lived in the same apartment building as Shelley, directly across the hallway. 10 minutes later, Rod dialed 911, explaining to the operator he'd already tried CPR after finding his wife unconscious in the bathtub. After pulling her body out and resting her on the floor, he did the best he could, but it was clear she was already gone. When officers arrived at the scene, they could see Shelley had been dead for hours, as her body was completely stiff from rigor mortis. While they tried piecing together what had happened inside the bathroom, it was Rod who generously offered up the first theory, which would become the only theory. Pointing toward a broken cabinet door hanging by one hinge above the foot of the bathtub, Rod hypothesized she must have been holding on to it when the hinge ripped out of the wall, causing her to slip, fall, and knock herself unconscious before drowning. And once that theory was out there, the police latched onto it. The lead detective at the scene interviewed Rod and his 9-year-old daughter, Anna. But by that point, he must have felt rather confident in the slip and fall theory, considering he didn't even record any handwritten notes of the interviews. A few officers did notice the visible scratch marks on Shelley's cheeks, nose, and under her eyes. But strangely, there was no mention of these scratches in any of the initial police reports. In fact, the only evidence of them were the crime scene photos taken that day. But the scratch marks weren't the only thing police had overlooked. No one had seemed to notice there wasn't a single bath towel in the bathroom, which was pretty strange if they were considering Shelley had been treating herself to a midnight soak. How was she planning on drying herself off afterward? No one also seemed to have taken notice of the fact Rod's clothes were completely dry, despite claiming he'd lifted Shelley's submerged body out of a bathtub full of water. The overly convenient explanation of a slip and fall accident had put blinders on the entire initial investigation. And before anyone could realize their mistakes, the NYPD had allowed the crime scene to be completely contaminated and cleaned by the rabbi, and for Shelley's body to be buried without an autopsy. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds, because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Born in 1962, Shelley Denishevsky was the daughter of a Jewish butcher who'd recently entered the world of Wall Street finance. Her father's dream had always been to become a rabbi himself, but lack of job opportunities and a fascination with mathematics had taken him in another direction. Just prior to Shelley's birth, Her father began working for banking giant Merrill Lynch as a stockbroker. And as it turned out, he was extremely good at it, managing more than $1 billion in assets before long. Still, inside the Danishevsky household, faith and family always came before finance. Throughout their lives, Shelley and her three siblings happily embraced the traditions of Orthodox Judaism with their parents and grandparents, faithfully attending synagogue. When Shelley became an adult, her father encouraged her to become a stockbroker. Not only did he believe Shelley would excel at it, he also thought it would be an ideal occupation for a woman who'd one day want to start a family, being that it's much more flexible than any corporate 9-to-5 job. Even in the 80s and 90s, much of their business could be conducted from home. And her father was right, Shelley was good at it. And after a few years of learning the ropes as a broker, Shelley's father offered her a position working alongside him in wealth management. But success in Shelley's career was met with a lack of success in her love life. Like many women who'd grown up reading fairy tales, Shelley and her sister had always dreamed of meeting their own Prince Charming one day. But unlike fairy tales, Shelley's happily ever after didn't include being swept off her feet by a wealthy prince or suitor. Shelley was having none of that. Instead, she'd gone out and earned every penny she was worth, earning a yearly income of almost $500,000 a year. And by age 35, was one of the most eligible bachelorettes in all of New York City. Over the years, her lack of success in the love department hadn't been from a lack of trying. Jewish single events seemed to be the place where Shelley met a few men that impressed her enough to date, but she never felt that magical Prince Charming moment. Until one day, in 1998, when Shelley tripped heading down a flight of stairs in a New York City dance club. But it was just before tumbling all the way down that a pair of strong arms reached out and caught her at the very last second. Holding on to her was a much younger 25-year-old named Rod Coughlin. A tall, athletic, and handsome man now holding her in his arms, whose first words to Shelley were, "Will you marry me?" But it's funny how what can sound like a fairy tale moment on one hand can actually border on sounding creepy and way too forward. Unfortunately, it's only looking back at these moments we can clearly see the difference. In that moment, however, Shelley believed it was the fairy tale moment she'd been waiting for, and later that night, surprised her sister with a call from the back of a taxi. She was on her way to the airport with a man she'd just met and was planning to elope with him in Vegas. Luckily, Shelley's sister was able to talk her out of the uncharacteristic act of spontaneity. Nevertheless, 7 months later, Shelley and Rod were married. On paper, Rod and Shelley's relationship didn't seem to make any sense. Shelley was a self-made millionaire known on Wall Street for having the Midas touch, while Rod, on the other hand, was 11 years younger and didn't have a single accomplishment to his name. But perhaps Shelley was attracted to his potential and the promise of what he could bring. Basically, Shelley had turned out to be Rod's Prince Charming. She was able to give him everything he'd ever wanted. After getting married, Shelley paid for Rod to get his master's degree in business. And although he always seemed to be dreaming up schemes to make it rich in the tech industry, he never followed through on any of them. Instead, Rod remained entirely unemployed, contributing nothing financially while living lavishly on his wife's income. So what could she possibly see in him, other than the good looks and the fleeting fairy tale moment she'd experienced? For starters, Rod was Jewish, which for Shelley was a basic requirement. Rod also came from a family steeped in the financial industry, which gave them some common ground. But the one thing they had the most in common was a desire to start a family together. And they did. Just 2 years after getting married, Shelley gave birth to their daughter, Anna Coughlin, in October 2000. Eventually, Shelley hoped she'd be able to step back from banking and focus solely on her family. To help make that more possible, Shelley even invested a considerable amount of money into several of Rod's half-cooked business ventures, hoping he'd find his own success. But that day never came. Instead, Rod remained unemployed and began focusing the bulk of his attention on his passion for the game, backgammon. While Shelley worked to support the family, Rod traveled all over the country, playing in various backgammon tournaments, often gambling away stacks of his wife's money in the process. Which meant, instead of Shelley slowly being able to step away from her role as her family's breadwinner, she was now more tied to her career than ever. This is also when the Prince Charming mask seemed to begin to drop, with Rod losing his temper and criticizing Shelley's looks and age, often in front of family and friends. Then in 2004, Shelley and Rod experienced their first tragedy together, after Shelley went into premature labor in her second trimester with twin girls who didn't survive. Although the loss was devastating for both of them, soon after, they decided to try again. And by 2006, at 44 years old, Shelley gave birth to a healthy baby boy they named Miles. For Rod, Shelley's income and wealth was an endless slush fund for him to pursue whatever his heart desired, which included the company of other women. Throughout the years, Rod took every opportunity to travel the country, playing professional backgammon tournaments and finding a girl in every port, pre-arranging dates with different women almost every single night. Playing the part of a high roller he'd never earned, Rod treated his dates to lavish evenings out using Shelley's hard-earned money. At home, Shelley got a different treatment, doing everything almost alone, while Rod stayed up all night playing online backgammon, while messaging women, and setting up his next round of affairs. But the moment everything truly went south was nearly 10 years into their marriage, when Shelley happened to see Rod's email browser still open and logged in on his computer. Taking a closer look, Shelley realized she was looking at messages to Rod's backgammon buddies, indicating he'd been having affairs. On the night of their 10th wedding anniversary, Rod suggested to Shelley they should open up their marriage so they could see other people. Clearly not on the same page, Shelley confronted Rod about his affairs and suggested they try to salvage their marriage for the sake of their children. But Rod continued seeing other women. Only now, he didn't really try to hide it. Finally, enough was enough, and Shelley demanded a trial separation. To get him out of their home, but keep him close to the kids, Shelley rented Rod an apartment across the hall. From there, Rod and Shelley's relationship continued to disintegrate, to the point Rod and Shelley were arguing incessantly, and their fights becoming physical. So in May 2009, Shelley finally pulled the trigger and filed for divorce. Appearing before a judge, Shelley asked for an order of protection against Rod, which would legally prohibit him from entering her apartment. For Rod, a divorce from Shelley meant the end of his supply of free money, so he decided to fight back as viciously as he could. Over the next few months, Shelley and Rod's divorce attorneys battled it out in the courts, hurling damning accusations at each other. But it was throughout these proceedings Shelley started to realize something. Rod seemed to have an uncanny knack for anticipating her legal strategies and arguments, as if he was somehow privy to her private communications. Friends and family started noticing this heightened sense of paranoia in Shelley, as she shared her belief that Rod was spying on her, following her, and stalking her. But Shelley didn't know just how right she was. The truth was, Rod had secretly hacked her personal computer, installing a keylogger, which sent Rod a copy of every keystroke Shelley typed, giving him access to all her online accounts and passwords. He even bragged to his friends about it. According to one witness, Rod also admitted to installing a number of hidden security cameras inside Shelley's apartment. The reason? Rod wanted to dig up whatever he could on Shelley so he could use it against her in court. He wanted custody of the children and believed he was entitled to a large portion of Shelley's income. Only problem was, there was nothing to dig up. Shelley was clean. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Despite having access to all her private information, Rod found no evidence of infidelity, nothing illegal, and nothing that could turn the courts against her. So Rod became desperate and stooped to a new low, even for him. One day, in July 2009, Rod took the children to a hospital emergency room and claimed Shelley had been sexually molesting their 2-year-old son, Miles. The allegations were horrendous, and Rod had coached Miles to say unspeakable things that no 2-year-old would be able to comprehend. Taking the accusations seriously, doctors thoroughly examined both Miles and Anna for any signs of abuse. But after investigating, they were entirely convinced that the allegations were false. The next day, the children were returned to Shelley. Because of his false allegations, a judge declared Rod was now only allowed supervised visits with the kids. And one more thing. The judge also banned Rod from playing backgammon, which the court viewed as gambling. But if Rod thought this was the worst it was going to get for him, he was wrong. Because next, Shelley removed Rod from her life insurance policy and had a meeting scheduled in late December to also have him removed from her will. Still having access to all her communications, Rod soon realized he needed to act swiftly if he wanted to get his hands on Shelley's $5 million estate. Retracing Shelley's last moments before she'd been discovered deceased, police were able to determine that on December 30th, 2009, Shelley had gone to her hairdresser for a special keratin treatment to straighten her hair, something she did every few weeks. But what was interesting about this particular treatment was that in order for it to hold, Shelley needed to wait 72 hours before getting her hair wet at all, even being inside a humid room like a gym or bathroom with hot running water could be enough to spoil it. And Shelley knew these instructions well. That's why it seemed even more unlucky that Shelley would decide to treat herself to a midnight bath. Even more suspicious was that the same day her body was discovered, Shelley had an appointment to rewrite her will. In the aftermath of Shelley's suspicious death, Anna and Miles were placed into custody of Rod's parents, despite desperate failed attempts by the Danishevskis to secure custody themselves. The Danishevskis then began petitioning police to re-examine Shelley's death as a potential murder. And in March 2010, just 8 weeks after being buried, Shelley's body was exhumed. She would finally get an autopsy to determine once and for all, hopefully at least, whether her death had been an accident or not. Sure enough, during the autopsy, the medical examiner discovered something shocking. A broken hyoid bone in Shelley's neck. An injury that wasn't consistent with a slip and fall, but perfectly consistent with someone who'd been strangled to death by a chokehold. That also meant the scratches on her face could be explained as someone clawing away from their attacker's arm. Although this new discovery meant Shelley's death would now be declared a homicide, because there hadn't been any evidence collected from the scene, it was basically impossible to pin it on Rod. Police would have to wait 4 more years before a treasure trove of damning evidence fell into their laps. After Shelley's death, Rod moved in with his parents and children in a suburb of New York. Now that his parents had full custody of Miles and Anna, they completely cut off almost all contact with Shelley's side of the family, which was devastating to the Danishevskys. The money from Shelley's estate was ultimately placed into a trust in the children's names, and while Rod was legally able to make modest withdrawals in order to provide for the kids, as long as his parents had full custody of Miles and Anna, that's all he'd ever get. Shelley's fortune was just out of reach. But in order for Rod to get all the money, he needed full custody. Much like he'd done with Shelley, Rod remained unemployed, traveling around the country playing backgammon, leaving his parents to provide all the childcare for Miles and Anna. And whatever money Rod was able to take out of his children's trust, he spent on himself. Over the course of the next several years, it's estimated Rod stole over $100,000 of his children's money to fund his own habits. Eventually, Rod's parents became fed up of their son's lack of responsibility and began getting into vicious arguments with him. In fact, the children witnessed Rod physically attacking his mother and father, leaving them with minor injuries. Still, Rod's plan was to prove to the courts that his parents were the ones unfit to have custody of the children. In order to show proof, he began starting arguments on purpose and secretly recording them.
Why don't you tell Anna that every penny you're spending right now is her money and Miles' money?
That's Shelley.
Wait. Hold on a second, Anna. I'd like you to come here. Hold on a second. Come here, please.
Yeah. Because you haven't worked 5 years in the 12 years of marriage. You never worked. Your mother worked her ass off for every penny that he's spending. Let me tell you, the Danishevskys are not wrong. They may be wrong about something, not the money.
Miles, stay here. Anna, come here.
Worked, and your father sat on his through now. He refuses to get a job.
Come here.
He's spending your money.
Okay. First of all,
he's spending your money.
What you are saying now in front of Anna and Miles, okay, will ensure that you never see my children again if you continue. Okay?
You threatened us with
Excuse me.
I spent $1 million of my money to make sure you didn't go to the Danishevskys.
No, you spent $1 million of Bonnie's money.
I owe the money.
You're never going to pay
money.
That money.
I'm going to pay the money. You're never going to pay me back.
I'm not a deadbeat.
You're going to steal from me.
Because you're a deadbeat.
Okay.
You're going to steal from me like you steal from your children.
By 2012, Rod's parents had completely kicked him out of their house and even took out a restraining order, barring Rod from being around the children unsupervised. For Rod, that meant war. By this point, Rod had a new steady girlfriend named Deb Rolls, 14 years older than him. Little did she realize, she was about to find out she'd unexpectedly given herself front row tickets to a horrific display of sociopathic depravity. It first started out with Rod trying to convince Deborah to make up a story to the family court judge that his father was physically abusive. But she refused. So Rod set his sights on another idea. Eliminate them from the equation entirely. For the next few months, Rod spent time researching and concocting harebrained schemes to murder them, running them by Deborah. One idea was to get his daughter to put rat poison in her grandparents' sugar. Deborah talked him out of the idea too, as well as others. Why she didn't go to the police during this time is unknown. Eventually, Rod came up with a plot that was so sinister, even she couldn't believe the depths he was willing to sink. When Rod's daughter Anna was 12 years old, he gave Deborah a handwritten letter to pass on to Anna so she could read it at school. But he made Deborah promise not to read it. However, Deborah did in fact open it and couldn't believe what she read. A letter filled with detailed instructions for how Anna could frame her grandfather for raping her. A disgusting scheme that would require her to take her own virginity using a vegetable wrapped in a condom. Rod even warned his daughter that it would be painful and suggested she research the process online. Stunned by what she was reading, Deborah took photos of every page as evidence. Although Anna verbally agreed to Rod's twisted plan initially, because she loved and trusted her father, ultimately she refused at the last minute. Seeing what he was capable of, Deborah became extremely fearful of Rod herself and was terrified of what he might do to her if she tried leaving him. Instead, she began secretly recording their conversations, and his next scheme would be caught on tape that would be played one day in front of a jury. His final plan was to kidnap Anna and fly her to Mexico, where girls as young as 14 can legally marry. He thought if he paid someone $10,000 to marry her, and she was legally married, her grandparents would no longer have custody of her, which Rod believed would give him full access to Shelley's millions. The lengths Rod would go to, and the trauma he was willing to inflict on his daughter for money, was truly inconceivable. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds, because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
3 years after her death, police were again investigating Shelley's homicide, and Rod was starting to feel the heat, as it was now no secret. He was their primary suspect. Again, Rod decided to use Anna to do his dirty work, this time by framing her for Shelley's murder. Going into Anna's email account, Rod typed up a full confession about the night Shelley died. In it, Rod, pretending to be Anna, claimed she'd gotten angry and pushed her mother, causing the fall that led to her death. But Rod didn't send this email to anyone. Instead, he left it in Anna's drafts folder, believing if police ever found it, he'd be off scot-free. But that wasn't what happened. It was in 2014, after Rod and Deborah broke up, that the mountain of evidence against Rod would finally be revealed. Over the years, Deborah had not only taken numerous damning audio recordings of Rod, she'd also taken evidence photos of his meticulous schemes, as well as Rod's external hard drives. In the end, it took quite some time for investigators to sort through all of it, But eventually, prosecutors believed they finally had enough to indict Rod for Shelley's murder, and he was arrested in November 2015.
That case was a case that's been going on since December of 2009, I believe. It entailed a lot of work between both detectives from Manhattan, Manhattan Homicide, and the DA's office. Over the course of the last couple of years, it's really taken real extensive police work and forensics, and we made an arrest in that case yesterday.
Soon after Rod's arrest, Shelley's brother-in-law, Mark, spoke to reporters.
The past few years have been brutally painful and gut-wrenching in many respects. And it's been a difficult time for all the parties concerned, all the family members. We've had these feelings of inexorable loss for our beloved Shelley, and her passing has left a gaping loss in each of our lives, from which we're still suffering and continue to suffer almost 6 years after she passed. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much. We have no further comment.
In light of his arrest, Rod's defense attorney was quick to proclaim his client's innocence to the public.
It's right from the beginning. He said he did not commit the crime. And people should understand right from the beginning, he cooperated with the police, with investigators. He spoke to them for hours on end. So yes, he's stunned because based on the cooperation, based on what he told them, based on the lack of credible evidence, he never thought it would result in him being formally charged. We have said from the beginning, years ago, that Mr. Coughlin has been the focus of enormous pressure to be charged with these crimes. He is not guilty of the charges.
Despite being arrested in 2015, it would be another 4 years before Rod Coughlin's trial would see the light of day in 2019. Almost everyone involved on the prosecution knew their case was an extreme long shot due to the mishandling of the crime scene on the day Shelley was found. Because of that, the prosecution was forced to try an entire case using nothing but circumstantial evidence. On the other side of the courtroom, Rod Coughlin and his attorney were determined to beat the murder case against him.
And it'll become very clear that there was no new evidence justifying the arrest in November. In fact, the reports are, the information we have, is that the district attorney himself, Mr. Vance, was so concerned about the absence of evidence at the time ADA Prunty went into the grand jury that there was a real conflict in the DA's office because of his concern about the lack of evidence showing that Mr. Coughlin committed the crime, and that if the Molyneux application, if the prior bad acts were excluded, the concern of the district attorney was that there was insufficient evidence to proceed. And because of the conflict between the district attorney and ADA Prunty, as reported, she ultimately resigned.
Although the prosecution's case was entirely circumstantial, what they did have was still incredibly compelling. To prove Rod had the means to murder Shelley, a shocking piece of evidence was presented. A silent surveillance video taken from inside Rod's jail cell. In the video, Rod can be seen demonstrating to another inmate how to do a rear chokehold around someone's neck properly. The exact manner of death suggested by the medical examiner during her autopsy. A powerful piece of evidence, especially now, considering how it all lined up. Now they needed to prove Rod had motive to murder Shelley, which was actually going to be the easiest part. After all, Rod had been freeloading off his wife's generosity for a decade, fueling his numerous affairs and backgammon gambling addiction. And then, when the money supply was about to be turned off, Rod became desperate. This insatiable greed was also demonstrated by the various plans he'd come up with to murder his own parents, who'd also been standing between him and Shelley's money. Deborah Olse took the stand and told the jury all about it.
Because there was no electricity, the alarm would not be on. He wanted to go through a window in the basement, kill his parents, set his house on fire.
As far as opportunity goes, Rod had been living directly across the hall from Shelley's apartment, which witnesses testified Rod had a key to. But there was one more incredibly damning piece of evidence still to come. According to the pathologist, Shelley's estimated time of death occurred between 1:30 and 3:30 in the morning on New Year's Eve. When the prosecution pulled up Rod's computer history, they demonstrated that Rod almost always used the internet from dusk till dawn playing backgammon. But that night, he'd taken a break, pausing his internet activity from 1:15 until 4:15 a.m., which was the exact same window of time Shelley died. There was no way this was just a coincidence. But one of the most significant moments of the trial came when the prosecution called Shelley's hairdresser to the stand, who testified how his client knew full well never to take a bath after a hair treatment. It's just not something she'd do. It was a detail the press would have a field day with, dubbing the testimony as the trial's legally blonde moment, a reference to when Reese Witherspoon uses her knowledge of women's hair care to solve a crucial case. Despite the argument's simplicity, it became obvious the entire crime scene must have been staged. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It took the jury more than a day to wade through all the evidence in deliberation. But in the end, they found Rod Coughlin guilty of second-degree murder, and he was sentenced to 25 years to life. At the time of her father's trial, Anna was 18 years old and reportedly had changed her name and moved out of state to attend university. Understandably, she also tried her best to shield herself from publicity. At sentencing, Rod's mother read the court a letter Anna had wrote in support of her father, which was shocking to many. She contended that if the crime scene had been handled properly, her father would have been exonerated. She then begged the judge to give her father the minimum sentence required. After Anna's letter was read in court, Rod gave his own statement proclaiming his innocence.
As my attorney said, I will be appealing and do maintain my innocence. Fortunately, my daughter, who slept in Shelley's bed that night, knows the truth. She's the one person who could. My children are amazing people. They're strong and courageous and wise, and they know that I love them.
For the Danishevsky family, the verdict was the end of a horrendous 10-year wait for justice. But it was a hollow victory that left them devastated, broken, and even blaming themselves. A sentiment expressed by Shelley's sister Eve during impact statements.
I still can't believe Shelley's gone. I have recurring nightmares about her final moments as he squeezed that last breath out of her. The helplessness that she must have felt, along with panic and terror, knowing death was imminent, despite her valiant effort to fight back. I carry around my own feelings of guilt, or survival guilt. Shelley confided in me about the many details of his brutality, physical and psychological abuse of both she and the children. I tried to comfort and assure her that I would always be there for her. Clearly, I was wrong. I asked myself those painful questions, which there are no answers. Why didn't I do more to protect her? Why didn't I help her find another apartment? Why didn't I try and stop her from signing his lease to the apartment across the hall? I pray that time will help ease the pain and provide some answers.
Adding to the Danishevskys' pain was the fact that it wasn't only Shelley they'd lost, but they'd lost contact with Miles and Anna as well. Over the years, Shelley's parents had spent millions of dollars fighting for custody and other legal battles, literally bankrupting them. Tragically, they'd both passed away 2 years before Rod's trial, having only seen Miles and Anna in person a handful of times. At sentencing, Shelley's brother-in-law addressed how the case had completely devastated them. They died in 2017, he said, but their deaths began on December 31st, 2009, when they lost their daughter, their granddaughter, and their grandson. Joel and Jaylene were shattered by Shelley's murder. They were whisked away suddenly with no goodbyes. Rod destroyed their lives, and he destroyed the lives that Anna and Miles might have had. Follow the Minds of Magnus on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To support the show and get access to ad-free episodes, extra content, and Patreon-exclusive episodes, go to patreon.com/madnesspod. To find us on Instagram and Facebook, search The Minds of Madness, and on Twitter using the handle @madnesspod. And also, by checking out our sponsors and using our promo codes, you're also helping support the show. We've got all the links in our episode notes. So until next week, thanks for listening.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.